Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, July 21st. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are in the Big Book. We are on page 53, the chapter We Agnostics, the first paragraph down. Logic is great stuff. Through one paragraph ending with, we don't know. The comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Kate F., the 12 Traditions, Lisa W. The readers of the text are Chanel T., Vanessa G., and Luann C. The share ID for Monday, July the 20th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,643. That's 647. That's 23647. And the Tuesday, July 21st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,649. That's 23649. And our newcomer greeter is Hani Yetta, and our announcements person is Robin B. Thank you all for your service. The OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At the Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Kate F. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Kate F. from Washington. Here are our 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Well, thank you very much. That's Kate F., and she's from Washington State. Up next, I will now ask Lisa W. to read the 12 Traditions of OA. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you very much. That's Lisa W. from Colorado. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 53 of We Agnostics. The first paragraph down begins with logic is great stuff, through one paragraph ending, we don't know. Comments will be on that one paragraph only, and I will now ask Chanel T. to begin reading and comment for us. Good morning, Chanel.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. Oh, I'm so glad to be here with you. This is Chanel T. I am a grateful and recovered compulsive eater, not cured, but free today by the grace of God. Top of 53. Logic is great stuff. We liked it. We still like it. It is not by chance we were given the power to reason, to examine the evidence of our senses, and to draw conclusions. That is one of man's magnificent attributes. We agnostically inclined would not feel satisfied with a proposal which does not lend itself to reasonable approach and interpretation. Hence, we are at pains to tell why we think our present faith is reasonable, why we think it more sane and logical to believe than not to believe, why we say our former thinking was soft and mushy when we threw up our hands in doubt and said, we don't know. Yeah, the longer I live, the more I know I don't know. Do you remember when people used to say that? I can't define the infinite is one direction I could go with this, but instead I'm thinking about how yes, I do have the power to reason, and I have the power of logic and critical thinking. I have that. Thank you, God, because I didn't make it. It just happened. And with that, I thought that I could find a way to control and enjoy those certain foods and ingredients and behaviors that were slowly killing me. because I have a disease, an addiction, that is more powerful than my logic. It confuses it. It blocks it, if you will. It is not something I can think my goodness knows I have tried for most of my life to do so. I'll just have enough information about nutrition. I'll have enough information about exercise. I'll have enough information about this particular diet I'm on. I'll have enough information about intermittent fasting, about mindful eating, about what, name it. And in the meantime, I did, for much of my adult life, have faith in a power greater than myself. Here's the thing, though. It didn't matter when it came to my food and food behaviors because I never, ever let God into that. That was an area I kept closed off, and I kept a death grip on it. So when it says, we don't know, we threw up our hands in doubt and said, we don't know, I don't have to understand my higher power in order to get this and be able to work through the steps. I just have to know there are powers greater than me, lots of them, right? But there's one in particular that will restore me to sanity. And even if I don't know it, I can act as if. That's what I did. I knew there was a higher power. I didn't believe that that power would restore me to sanity. How little is your God? No, my God is ginormous. I believed he could. I didn't believe he would. Maybe someone can relate. But no matter how much logic and thinking and mathematics, whatever, I try to put to this, it is a disease that is more powerful than my thinking. Unless I involve a power greater than me and work these steps abstinently, which I do with my higher power's help. And when I do that, miraculously, the problem is solved for me today and can be every day of my life. I don't ever have to be pulled back into that disease of not knowing when I'm going to binge next. Not knowing when I'm going to be pulled to do crazy things around the food again.
Time.
It's a miraculous, thank you, way of living. I wouldn't trade it. I'm so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much. That's Chanel T. from Washington State for getting us started. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we are on page 53 of We Agnostics. The first paragraph begins with logic is great stuff, through one paragraph ending with we don't know. So who would like to share this morning?
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
K.S. from Iowa.
K.S. Thank you, K. Who else?
Lisa W. from Colorado.
Lisa W. Anyone else? I have
oh,
Bruce E.
Christina.
Who
J.
was that?
I
Christina
said, oh,
J.
What the heck? Christina J.
Okay. Oh, good. Christina. Christina J. Gotcha, Christina. I'm Washington. Okay. All right. Well, let's go with that group. I have Bruce E., K.S., Lisa W. and Christina J. Everyone mute except Bruce. Good morning, Bruce.
Well, good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. Let's see. Well, this is Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida. I'm recovering compulsive over here. I didn't come in here on a winning streak, that's for sure. And my credits didn't transfer. And every day is a good day when I can be at a meeting and don't have to talk to my ex-wife. So, Logic is great stuff. You know, it's amazing that God gave me logic. You know, he gave me a lot of stuff, but he gave me logic. But you know, and logic is neat. You know, it's real good stuff. But the logic didn't work on my compulsive overeating. You know, I mean, it didn't. I don't know if it didn't go far enough. I had self-knowledge. I had self-knowledge that didn't seem to work to stop the compulsive overeating. The logic didn't seem to make it. As self-will, you know, my will, that didn't seem to be enough to do it, you know. And I didn't know what it was, and I used to say, you know, God, please keep me from overeating. You know, I used to say that. And, you know, faith, you know, I have faith, you know. I have faith, you know. I still do. I still have faith. But I thought faith would be reasonable enough. So I tried faith, and faith didn't. It took me, God loved me so much that, and I think he loved me just as much today as he loved me back then when I was acting out. But God loved me so much that he got me into this program. He got me into the steps. He got me a sponsor. Yeah, he got me into, you know, getting the skeletons out of the closet in fourth and fifth and making amends in eight and nine and all that stuff. So that seems to be the answer to this thing, that it's, you know, just taking the action, doing the work, doing the steps, you know. I guess the other way, I mean, I was just expecting God to just do everything for me, and then I didn't have to do anything. And then I'd be well, and I could go on with my life, you know. But, you know, I think this way is working out really good. But I have thrown up my hands in doubt and said, I just don't know. You know, I mean, my problem was, like I heard in the introductory speaker here, was that I believed in God, you know, but I never really, other than to plead with him and ask for stuff and demand stuff, I never really got down to really asking God to apply it to this program, you know, to work in this program. Thanks, Mo. I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Bruce E., and he is from Southwest Florida. Up next is K.S., followed by Lisa W. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well.
Good. I hope all are well. I really enjoy this paragraph because logic is great stuff. There's no doubt about it. But it is limited. And I know with my program, I needed a power that was not limited, was bigger than logic and everything else that had been steering me where I, like we say, it was my best thinking that got me here. So logic is great stuff. And then it meets a wall. And I think, like with the Wright brothers, this is why visionaries are so innovative, because I think whatever their thing is I think they're getting something from a higher power as well. They see something and then they just go to a place and it's different than everything, the land that's been laid before. And so they're going to go with it. And I think when I connect with God, because God knows I tried everything. I still try stuff sometimes, but it always gets me in the same place. It's really, when it comes to God, I find that I need to come to him as a child, not with my brain. My brain is what sort of messes me up, because I'm really creative at thinking of why I don't have to do this, or, oh, I could do this food this way, or, I mean, it's endless. I mean, that's the curse of a creative mind. But I've been around long enough. The other thing is, the logical thing is, I have seen miracles in this program and other 12-step programs. So I kind of know it works. So really, when I don't know anymore, which I definitely do not, I capped out on what knowledge could do for me. That I did that long ago. And now I'm relying on something that's bigger than even that. And so that's all the spiritual stuff, grace, infinite wisdom, infinite power. I'm tapping into that. It's outside of me or a part of me, I'm not sure, but it's not my brain anymore. My brain will get me in trouble. So anyway, it's good that is not the final say is what knowledge can teach me, because I need something bigger. So with that, I will pass, and thank you for your service, everybody.
Well, thank you very much. That's KS from Iowa. And up next is Lisa W., followed by Christina J. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, thank you so much, Lisa W., recovering compulsive eater in Colorado. I actually used logic to find my higher power. I had been one of the people the book talks about, one of the books, maybe the 12 and 12, about someone who had faith and lost it because it didn't work. And I prayed so much in the beginning when I got into OA originally 15 years ago. And my prayers did not result in me it did not work to get me to stop compulsively eating. And I mean, at the time, I didn't have entire abstinence, didn't even know the concept, hadn't worked the steps from the big book. I didn't know at the time that was the problem, part of the problem, but I really lost my faith. I had so much faith in other areas, and I just finally said, it doesn't work. I didn't really have an opinion about God. I didn't know why God wasn't helping me. Anyway, when I was working the second step again, I was like, okay, God, prove it to me. Prove to me that you are here. And I started keeping a list of things that I saw in my environment that really worked out in my favor. Things that I had not touched, did not see coming, and I felt like they're proof I have a higher power. And I just thought, you know, my higher power knows how my brain works, and this is okay. And it worked. It really started to prove to me in many areas of my life that there is a higher power that loves me. And right now I'm re-examining after some real difficult food situations that, am I willing to believe? And, I'm acting as if I'm willing to be willing. So, I probably could start writing a list of proof that my higher power is working around food for me. And I might do that, because that's just how my mind works, and I don't think it's a problem as long as I put my logic facing towards God. It's just how my brain works. With that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That is Lisa W. from Colorado. And before I take Christina J., let me remind everybody where we are. We are on page 53 of We Agnostics. It's the first paragraph down. Logic is great stuff, and it ends with "We don't know." And after Christina, I'll take another lineup. Good morning, Christina.
Morning, Mo. It's Christina J. from Washington State. I was wanting to share on tomorrow because it's so such a cool paragraph, but I just kept feeling the nudge, and I wanted to also say that the lead share was incredible. Thank you very much. I didn't really know what I'm going to share, but I'm going to say this, that all this stuff in this paragraph had to die. It had to be stripped from me, except for the line, "I don't know." I tried everything like everybody else, and I kept trying. I wasn't one to give up control, and I heard something yesterday that I thought was really cool. Control is just fear with a crown on. I just love that thing. Anyway, fear drives it all, right? And fear that I could never get out of this thing, and trying everything, and then finally just, I don't know. And the pain of it, the pain. Thank God for the pain. you know, nobody wants pain, but, you know, my higher power knows what I need to get me to the beautiful place. I think it's a beautiful place that we drop to our knees and surrender to this power within us that is so glorious. I have come to a place where I have connected. I have connected after, since being in vision since 2015, in and out of relapse, in and out of not feeling like I had that beautiful space inside of me where my higher power and me walk. We're in relationship, baby. You know, he's the lover of my soul today. And that came only through program, because I always said I had a God. You know, I know God. I know this, I know that. And I had moments throughout my, you know, history of being in churches and things. I had moments at 10 years old in the Pentecostal church in Oakland, California, dancing in the spirit and trying to be like the other ladies, swaying side to side. And, you know, I had moments. You know, my soul was on call with God, but God knew how stubborn I was. He knew that I needed to completely come home to him. And I have to tell you, it's a beautiful place. And I hope that some of you out there that struggled like me can get there. Oh, I have a God. It's all right. But I never could get to that place where God was more important than the chocolate. God was more important than the food. Even in the pain of life. I was in such pain yesterday driving around town on my errands. But I didn't want the food. I could care less about the food. I wanted relief, and only God was my relief. And it doesn't always come. I mean, sometimes we have to suffer. It's not, you know, life is here to wake us up, not to make us happy. And that's beautiful, really. You know, challenges are here to wake us up so we'll crawl to God. So all this stuff in this paragraph, it just has to die. And it's another phase, right? We get through this phase, we don't know. Hey, are we finally going to try this God or this higher power thing? Are we going to, you know, start meditating and praying and seeking and crawling towards this thing that everybody says we need to crawl to, even though we don't feel like it and we feel like we're just staring at a blank wall in meditation? Yes, keep trying. Keep going to that heart space. Keep taking these steps. I'm going to finish up. You're going to get there. You're going to get there. And if you don't, well, that's not my... You know, I'll finish up. That's not up to me. That's up to you and your God. But you will if you keep trying. Love you all. I pass.
Thank you very much. That is Christina J. from Washington State. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Rebecca S., Colorado.
Rebecca S. Colorado. Who else would like to share? Press star one to unmute.
Avi V, Vancouver, BC.
Avi V, is your last initial V?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Canada.
Chicago.
Who was that?
Gail from Chicago.
Oh, Gail. What's your last initial, Gail?
Yeah, Gail from Chicago.
Okay.
Weasel F from California.
Weasel F. All right. I have Rebecca S, Avi V, Gail F, and Liesel F. Anyone else in this lineup? Okay. Everyone mute except Rebecca S. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, Rebecca S., recovering compulsive overeater in Colorado. I appreciate the lead and the share so far. And this paragraph is very intriguing to me as someone who is agnostic and remains agnostic even after reading this chapter. But the key for me for the whole program is to work it honestly. And I can use my logic to identify values and principles that are more important than me, that are bigger than me, that are more powerful than me, and that I believe if I turn my will toward them, if I center them, if I fall back on them whenever I'm disturbed, will relieve me of my ego, will relieve me of myself, and get me through a situation and orient me for my life. And that's very powerful for me. And I really agree with this, you know, most of the way down the paragraph, you know, my logic was mushy. And I really did experience that for years and years because I knew steps would work without some really specific defined higher power, you know, the traditional type. But I didn't know exactly how to orient my will. And the reality is, as someone already mentioned, taking these actions is the program that gets us in touch with our higher power, that clears a channel. And the key for this whole chapter for me is just keep working the steps. Take these actions and I will get the clarity and the belief I need. So that's my message as an agnostic, and I appreciate the opportunity to share.
Thank you very much. That's Rebecca S. from Colorado. Up next is Avi V., followed by Gail F. Good morning, Avi.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for leading the meeting and Chanel for the opening share and everyone who has shared. I kept reaching for the phone to do the star one. I'm like, no, not today. I really wanted to listen and I am listening. But the silences, because usually everybody's just jumping in and this is, I'm surprised because I'm sharing a lot. This is my every third day kind of thing. I was like, no, but I'm going back through the steps right now. I experienced a horrific, horrific two relapses just about 4 weeks ago. I've been completely abstinent since, and just there's so much lightness and peace and letting go. And what I what came to me was, I love God. God is everything, but I wasn't acting like it. It was almost like I trust God, but I trust me more. And that doesn't work. That was going to lead me right back into relapse. And this idea of my conception of a higher power, of God, but what does it look like to make God bigger, to let go of the shackles, to break the pot, as it were, like the container that I had God in this, you know, this little container when God is everything. And so I've been just really visualizing smashing that container. And I love that word smashing that is also used in our literature because God is everything, right? And without God, I am nothing. And I know that today. I will be in the food so fast and it will kill me. And I know that today too. And so I am visualizing with every breath I am breathing God in, with everything I'm looking at, God is there. And the everything is looking so much more, just more beautiful, more complete, and everything I'm doing is inviting God in. And there have been so many periods of agnosticism in my program, despite the relationship and the time and the letters. I have to believe with every fiber of my being, not just believe, but act and just walk in my day with God by my side in everything I do. And that is what I'm doing today. And the food is quiet. There is no chatter. There is no Avi, you know, just one. It's okay. You know, and it's like, excuse my language, but fuck off. Just fuck off. I'm done. Thank you. And God is everything. And God, my goodness, it feels beautiful. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much. That's Avi V. from Canada. Up next is Gail F., followed by Liesl F. Good morning, Gail. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning. I'm Gail, a recovering compulsive overeater. And I missed the lead, unfortunately, but the series have been wonderful. And I just want to share that for me, when I was younger, I was truly an agnostic. I remember in religious school actually challenging my teacher by throwing the Bible down, saying, how do we know where this book came from. Maybe it was a bunch of men sitting under a tree and wrote it. Like, I refused religion. And as I came into program, I actually chanted a lot that I'm not a religious person, but I'm spiritual. And then when I went through the steps, I started working the steps. I've done the steps many times throughout the years. And my recent going through the 12 steps, where I'm at today, is that I truly believe that I don't know what I don't know. And I really surrendered and said, you know, I am turning my will and my life over to care of God. Okay, so what does that mean? I've got a disease that I cannot control. It's a disease of my mind, body, and spirit. I've crossed the line. I am totally powerless over this. I have proven it to myself over decades of relapse that I truly have. I'm a low-bottom compulsive overeater. My will and my way doesn't work. And I came to the belief that God is for me and people. And I have to surrender. I have a relationship with a higher being, but to get to that higher being, I surrendered to a sponsor. Okay, I'm truly going to surrender. And I worked the program the way she suggested it, without altering it. And I truly worked it. And I got so enlightened about who I am, so much about what I didn't know about me and my reactions to life, to my emotions, to anger, to resentment, all of that. And I was able to just finally, like, get to and step, you know, right when you get to step 9, they say you'll immediately start feeling things. Things are going to shift. And they truly did. And I lived through today, through steps through 12, and I believe that the connections I have with sponsorees in my life keeps that relationship with my higher power strong, reminding myself of who I am and keeping me taking action steps and working the program and seeing my higher power work in my life in such mysterious, beautiful, different ways and facing challenges and having to say a FAIR, which stands for either have faith and face everything and recover, F-E-A-R, or F, fuck everything and run. I face things today, day at a time, walk through my life with a program of recovery that's my arsenal against relapse. And of course, it's not easy. And of course, outreach calls are necessary, and I'm being cut off. So thanks for listening. Have a wonderful, absolute, blessed day.
Thank you very much. That's Gail F., and she is from Chicago, Illinois. And let me remind everybody where we are. Are those just getting on the line? We're on page 53, We Agnostics. The first paragraph down begins with, logic is great stuff, through one paragraph ending with, we don't know. And after Liesl, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Liesl.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Liesl.
Good morning. This just reminds me of the set-aside prayer, and it helps me to remember that I know nothing. And so, you know, I set aside everything I think I know about my recovery and today so I can have a new experience. And it's really been hard hearing my family discuss about my eating disorder, and, you know, they're worried about my weight, and somehow, you know, through program, I went from an overeater to their eyes an undereater, and I really, really, it drives me bonkers that I'm not perfect in their eyes. And but thanks to program, I can pray on it, be agnostic in me, because I'm not an agnostic, but I realize when I'm worried about these relationships and what people think of me and not bringing God in. And so I just ask that God come with me in all of my affairs. And, you know, I am powerless over people, places, and things. And I turn my will and my life over to Him. And what comes to me is I pray to be accepting of love. At the end of the day, I realize my family is worried about me, and I got the ball rolling by being controlling and controlling my food. And I see my part in all of this, and it feels itchy and scratchy and sticky, and I just want to eat over it, but I'm not going to. I pray that, you know, this reading helps me again to get God, to invite God into all of my affairs in life, and to not be agnostic in my relationships. And again, just set aside everything I think I know about what it means to be recovered, and I want to share in my testimony of recovery that it really does help to speak about what we're feeling, and I've got big time feelings, but it helps to come out from behind the curtains, and I just want to be so perfect for you guys, but I realize that's not really helping anyone. So I've got good days and bad days, but the bad days are still way better in program. And hey, I got another day. I get another day here with you guys. I get another day to see the sunrise, the blue angelic sun, and I get another chance to be of service. So with that, I'll pass, and thank you. And I just want to pray over all of you that you have a blessed day.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. That's Liesl F. from California. All right. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Rita S. in Florida.
Jennifer, California.
And
A. New York.
Jennifer. I got Rita S., Jennifer, and Anne.
Anne.
Yeah, we better stop there because I don't have a lot. Oh, there's not that much time. We'll see how we do. So I have Rita S., Jennifer, G., I think it was, and Anne. And I'll get your last initial when you're on there. Everyone else mute except Rita. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning, everybody. I just want you to know that I'm Rita S. in Florida, and if you want to go on a most awesome spiritual walk and you're seeking and searching, I would be the one to call because I have had an unbelievable journey, a healing and all, and I would love to take somebody there with me. So if you need to, just give me a call.
Thank you. That's Rita S. I'm from Florida. Up next is Jennifer G., followed by Ann. Good morning, Jennifer. Press star one to unmute.
Sorry about that. Hi, this is Jennifer G. in California, recovered compulsive overeater. Very grateful for abstinence today. Probably going into like 100 and above 111, I know. It was 110 on a 4th of July, or maybe it was 100. Anyways, grateful for abstinence. So when I got to Overeaters Anonymous 3 years ago, about 3.5 years ago, I had a broken brain. And I used to hear, a broken brain can't fix a broken brain. I was totally in self-reliance. And I knew, I didn't know until I put the food down, I really have gotten to understand how important it is to put the food down, 100%. No alcoholic foods whatsoever, which for me is sugar and flour. My brain was cloudy, and my thinking wasn't straight. My life was being run on emotions, and so if it happened and I had an emotion over it, that was my reality. I was reacting a lot to circumstances in my life, and I'd get so uncomfortable with those circumstances, I would go to the food, and I just kept doing this cycle over and over and over again. So once I got on a food plan with a nutritionist and identified my alcoholic food and my alcoholic food behaviors, my mind cleared. And then I was able to work the steps abstinently. Step one, abstinently. I had to put down the food, all of it. So I know my logic was faulty in the food. I did think that I knew everything. I was a know-it-all. I not only knew what I needed to do, I knew what you needed to do too. So trying to run the world, I didn't know what I didn't know. So God told me early days, like 3 years ago, I needed to shut up and I needed to listen. And somehow, I'll never know this, there's no logic to it, I got to vision. I have no idea how I got to vision, and I got with a recovered vision sponsor, which started my journey. And I knew I needed to do the work. I needed to, this is not a cafeteria program, take step one and maybe do 5 and 10 sometimes. I had to do all of the steps. So every day I have to do the steps. If I get uncomfortable, I have to do a 10th step. I need to do a nightly review. I need to start my day with God. I am continuing to grow in this program. And today, when I say the words, I don't know, I kind of smile because, you know, I came from that place of knowing everything. But I don't know, but I do know who knows, and that's my higher power, God. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much. That's Jennifer G. from California. And up next is Ann. Give us your last initial, Ann, and where you're calling from.
Thank you, Mo. My name is Ann A., and I'm here in New York, and I'm grateful for all that do service and all that have been here. It's been a beautiful meeting. Starting with the lead share, I used to pride myself that I was a Mrs. Spock, you know. I had all the answers, all the degrees. But as Bill, I didn't have the critical thinking, Bill, as you say we do. And I was a believer, but it's only because of this program. It's only because of what's in this book, the instructions. And the on page 55, deep down inside, is the thought of God. And practicing these steps, my life is becoming, yes, I'm grateful. I've been relieved of the obsession. God granted that through me, gave me the graces, gave me a lot of graces. But I still am human. I am plagued because I'm emotional in nature, and that's why I must pray and meditate every morning. I must sit quiet. That's for Anne. I must sit quiet and invite my God, my Heavenly Father, to be with me and calms me and gives me direction. Anne is, without this program, is self-will run riot. And God has given me miracles, restored relationship with my husband and my daughter, and this beautiful retirement, other things. I think of my accident in February as a blessing too. And I love it. We don't know. I'm glad. I thought I was a know-it-all. I don't know. And when I don't know, I can be honest and say I don't know. And that's all I'd like to share. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you very much. That's Ann A. from New York. And that we will close with that because it's time. So we will now close with thank you, everyone, for your shares and for a wonderful meeting. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Vanessa G. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for a beautiful meeting. My name is Vanessa G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in New Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.